Beautiful. Excellent. All right. So now we're going to switch gears slightly. So we talked about portals, web content management forms a little bit. Now it's IBM Mashup Center. Mashup Center is really changing the way we perceive application development. We've certainly looked at application development in the past as being pretty much, to a large extent, the domain of IT resources. We know we're always being asked to do more with less, and there's often an IT backlog. So how can we address that? Well, often we have, less technical users who can quickly, they can identify what they think is a definite need. There's an opportunity here. If they could just combine a couple of data sources, bring it together onto one page, maybe bring in something else, if they could do that, that would give them an immediate business advantage. They'd be able to respond quicker, have better access to information, etc. It might be good for them, might be good for other people in their team or other people in the organisation. But is it worthwhile? How do they justify the cost of involving IT and what's required to develop it? Do they need to do a business case? Well, this is the problem that Mashups is solving. It's allowing these less technical users to quickly and easily assemble this information into a new application to satisfy their business needs. And what's also important, what we've seen in the real world with the use of Lotus Mashups, is that you actually get IBM Mashup Center acting as a kind of incubator. So you get these various mashups being developed, and by virtue of how frequently one's used or how much access it gets, how valuable it is, that actually sees the best mashups rise to the top. So then that almost becomes the justification for either further investment, or you might use the mashup accelerator to deliver that via portal in a proven and secure manner. So we really believe we've taken a leadership position, and many of the analysts agree with us on that. So mashups and IBM have come synonymous, and really we're starting to think about, well, what's next? What comes next down the road here? And one of the key things that we think is important and we're addressing now is, now that you're starting to open up the ability for business users to bring in all this data and start to interact with critical back-end systems in real time, how do you put the right controls around that? You don't want to suddenly open it up and actually bring systems down through excessive usage by these business users creating their own mashups. So that's something that we're working on to bring to market, is providing the flexibility of mashups, but again, focusing on making sure that's delivered in a controlled and secure manner. On Lotus Greenhouse, dropped my H, went back to my country school roots there, Lotus Greenhouse. Anyway, on Lotus Greenhouse, we made available the Mashup Center, and we had over 3,000 registered users who were able to create more than 2,000 mashups, all with the aid of only a few instructional videos. So I think that demonstrates how it's very easy to get started and very easy to start delivering business valuable mashups with the tool. Now I'm going to flick it back to Ralph, who's going to show us a demonstration of mashups.
So here's a demo of mashups I built for one of our customers here in Australia to illustrate some concepts for them. And so my role here is, this is Samantha, I manage a team of relationship managers, and I'm going to view my customised page about the activity of my relationship managers, and then I'm going to discover a disturbing trend. Okay, so let's sign in here. So Samantha Darren. Okay. Right, so what I'm seeing here is my page, right, around my team. And so I've got a list of my team members there at the top left, right, and I can click on different team members' names. So let's start off with Dan at the front of the list here. Now what I normally do is just review the top three accounts, since usually they're the big contributors. Right, and so looking here at their contribution, the interest they're paying us, and the revenue being the amount that they're earning. Right, and so what I'm tracking over here, of course, on the right, is how deposits are tracking, right, against their revenue. So normally that stays, you know, fairly consistent in light of their business activity. So we just need to look at that to make sure that business might not be sneaking off elsewhere. So here I've come to Frank and is looking at BHP and Telstra. And actually got a bit of a problem here. The deposits have fallen off there, dropped by 3% month on month. We normally trigger at 1.5%, so that's a bit of an issue. So I wonder why that is. Well, looking at it, October was the date here, that, and then November is where it first started, and our last contact was October. Maybe Frank hasn't been keeping tabs with what Telstra is doing there and contacting John Stanhope. So I could sign into the same time here, right, and get hold of Frank. right, and talk to him about why this is a problem. So I like using mashups because it's simple for me to find out information, right, and to gain those insights into activities that are happening across our customers. And so, again, I'm going to flick roles now and become Frank, right? And so Frank is going to look at the information, right? And actually see a little more about it. And then he's going to get a new page, and he's going to add that to his mashups navigation. Okay, so sign in as Frank. Now, I know that Samantha's sort of watching over all of us, but I've got my own personalised top 10 page here, which is just my top 10 accounts, you know, not looking at the others' activity. So she's asked me to look at Telstra, so let's have a look at that. So what I've got coming in as well is this Google News feed keyed on Telstra name. Don't see a deaf to voicemail, you know, saves valuable time, Telstra helps seniors, well of talent runs deep. Doesn't seem anything financially related. So, you know, really not too sure, you know, why their deposits are dropping off, so I really do need to get in touch with John and sort that out. Now, I've had a message from a business analyst called Ralph, right, who's been developing some more mashup pages, and there's one he wanted to share with me since I know I use this sort of information a lot. So it's a top 10 with chart now. So I'm going to have a look at that one. And so it's been added to my mashups page navigation here, so top 10 with chart. Let's pull that in. Okay, a bit of a rearrangement with the CRM stuff. Okay, there's BHP, Telstra. Click on Telstra's. Ooh, I think I can see the big drop-off right there. I think if I was navigating through my accounts, it would be much faster to spot a trend like that with the chart. So I think I'll tell Ralph that this is a good way to go, right, in terms of a new style of mashup. So I was able to get hold of that very simply. Right, and again, it was easy for me to gain more insight, even though there wasn't too much for me on Google News today. Right, and it was simple for me to add new pages and get new capabilities provided to me.
Thanks very much, Ralph. Okay, so the key attributes of Portal that I touched on, delivering exceptional web experiences, integration and business value, and the third one was empowering users. And I think you've seen with mashups how that's obviously a key focus, right? How do we empower business users so that they can actually build and provide the information that they require at their fingertips so they can be more responsive to their customers? But it's not just mashups. We really have that across the portfolio. In Portal 6.1, we added the capability for business users to create pages and, in fact, entire subsites with a few simple mouse clicks. Our Forms Turbo offering allows business users to create their own forms with simple business processes built in. Our web content management software provides for in-context editing, so a business user can update the content right there on the site that they're viewing. And finally, our dashboards give the power to the business users to be able to tailor and customise their key performance indicators and graphs. So empowering business users is one of our key attributes that we implement across the range of the portfolio. Now, we've had, and we have many excellent examples of Portal implementations across the world, some great local examples at Centrelink with their five portal sites, customer and internal and extranet focused. Isuzu have an excellent dealer portal. And here are just some eligible examples of customers who are award winners internationally. One of those that I will point out is one that's in New South Wales, New South Wales Department of Lands. And they've delivered a portal and they've used Portlet Factory to rapidly develop a whole range of portlets. Their portal is about primarily spatial information, so dynamic maps and delivering that to constituents as well as other agencies. And what they've also enabled is for other agencies to be able to provide their data and mash that data up with their maps, their spatial information dynamically in the portal. So they won the 2008 Premier's Gold Award recently. So finally, we're very pleased that according to the analysts and according to market share, we've been in a leadership position with portals and mashups for 6 years now. But that really doesn't mean anything without the customers, obviously, without customers choosing Portal as their platform and their right solution. So, of course, the IBM team and myself included look forward to working with many of you to show you the value of Portal and how it can apply to your organisation. Thanks very much. And now I'm going to hand back to Matt Padden.
Thank you, Mike. Unfortunately, we don't have any time for any more cricket jibes, so I will move on and leave that to next time, Mike.
Got nothing.
So I'm going to talk about online services. We've got probably about 15 minutes, something like that. So we're going to talk about online services. So a lot of you would have heard software as a service, Bluehouse, cloud. Some of you may have even heard of Lotus Live. So hopefully I'm going to, after this session, you'll have a more of an understanding of Lotus Live and what we're doing with regard to online services and the hosted model. Quick agenda. Let's look at the changing business priorities, what IBM's Lotus strategy is around this, introducing Lotus Live, some of the new offerings, Click to Cloud, what we're doing with some partners, a demo and summary. And we should, I'll flick quite quickly so you can all get to either your next session or lunch, but I think we have about a 9-10 minutes demonstration on this. A lot of words here, however, let's just point out some of the key ones. Business priorities are changing. It's all about sustainable growth. Market factors are still important, but maybe a little bit less dominant. It's about, you know, how we manage our business, managing our business effectively and easily. Responsiveness and agility, and also about the innovation model. So it's becoming important. What are we doing with innovation within our organization? How are we managing the innovation that's out there for us to be more productive? SaaS is aligning to these priorities. Companies of all sizes will adopt SaaS, software as a service. It's affordable, it's accessible to anybody, and it allows companies to focus on their core competencies. So no longer do they really have to manage bits of the IT department, etc. They can outsource that and just pay subscription licensing models and really focus on what the company is good at. Okay, so if you're at the beginning, the first session with Craig, he outlined that this was the Lotus strategy, if you like, not the far right-hand side, but this piece here is around business processes and information and getting those two through the relevant Lotus software solutions and out to the client services, whether that's a rich client, browser, portal, mobile device, etc. Now we've introduced, on the right-hand side, this on-premise, online, appliance way of delivering all of these software capabilities. So there's multiple delivery models here. On the right-hand side, you've got this on-premise delivery model whereby software is delivered via a business partner, and we're working with some of the large telcos here in Australia and New Zealand to deliver software and basically outsource that on a per-user model. And on the right-hand side, cloud delivered via IBM services. So the next slide actually will probably highlight a little bit better that Lotus Live, which is our SaaS model, Lotus Live is not one product. It's not one service. It's a set of different offerings depending on your business needs. So right-hand side, there is an offering for email. If email is what you want to have outsourced, then there is a number of options, some which are available today. You probably can't see that, but these yellow ones here are available today, i.e. Lotus Live Notes. This gives you pretty much your emails and capabilities around email. And also to come available mid this year will be Lotus Live iNotes, which will be more of a web-based email solution. Then you've got the collaboration piece. Bluehouse, as it used to be called, Lotus Live today. This is around more about file sharing, setting up of meetings, etc. It's all around collaboration. Also around connections. We had a talk a couple of sessions ago on connections. It's around sort of that social software element. And on the left-hand side here is all around conferencing. So events and conferencing. So depending on what your business model is and what you require from an outsource perspective, you have the different the different choices. Okay, I'm just going to, just in the essence of time, I'm going to skip through a few. Like with our other solutions, we are working with some of our telco vendors, and here you can see we're looking at taking Lotus Live out, getting that mobile anywhere and everywhere access. And there's just a couple of examples, that one with RIM and BlackBerry. So let's move over to the demonstration on Lotus Live.
All right. Thanks, Matt. The demonstration with Lotus Live really is requires a couple of different people. So I'm going to introduce a couple of people here that are playing different roles. And the reason is that one of the benefits that we have of Live is being able to interact with people that perhaps are not within the same organisation as us. Now, there's a few different models for Lotus Live, and Matt can talk about that, whether you want a, you know, separate server or whether you want to have a multi-tenant server and all those sorts of things. But in this particular example, we're talking about two organisations that might be small businesses that perhaps need to interact with each other to perform a particular job. So first of all, let's introduce Frank. Frank is a marketing manager for a company called Renovations, and he needs to contact a marketing outsourcing specialist. He wants to share some documents with that specialist and with other members of his group. He wants to initiate an online meeting to kick off some of these things, and he wants to follow up on some meeting actions that come out of this meeting. If we move to the next one, we also will introduce Heather. Heather is a marketing outsource specialist from a marketing firm, so a different organisation, and she's going to work as part of Frank's team, share documents, participate in that meeting, and follow up on one of the actions that will be assigned to her. So, first of all, we have a look at Frank's desktop. Now, Frank happens to be a Lotus Notes user. In this case, he's using Notes 8. And he's got an invitation there, please connect with Heather Reeds from my team. So the way he's going to do that is log into Lotus Live, and here we see his desktop. Down the left-hand side, there's a bunch of functions that we have access to, but he's going to search for Heather Reeds across the Lotus Live directory. There's two that match, and he knows he needs the one from DNZ Marketing, and he connects to Heather and sends her an invitation to connect. Now, Heather's marketing company is on some substandard email system, but that doesn't stop her because she still has access to Lotus Live. And the invitation comes through to Heather to connect to Frank via Lotus Live. So she sees the invitation here, she confirms the connection, and it's exactly the same way that people would connect on Facebook and other social software networks. So this is a fairly comfortable model for a lot of people. We go back to Frank as we see him log back into Lotus Live at some point later in the day, and we see that Heather has accepted his invitation to connect. So within his network now, Heather actually forms part of that network, and we can see that the company names are listed there. So we don't necessarily have to restrict ourselves to connecting with people in the same organisation. Now, Frank wants to create a marketing team for this particular project and add some people into that group. So he's created a premier marketing team group, and he'll use this whenever he needs to interact with all the people that form part of this team. He has a number of files that are available here, so he's got some uploaded files that he's already got up on Lotus Live, but he can upload additional files, and there's a couple of different ways he can do this. In this particular case, he's just clicking on the browse button to upload a file, and it's a Word document that's being uploaded. He can set the privacy of that document, and he's going to use that group that he created before, the Premier Marketing Team. He could restrict it just to his own organisation, so anyone within his own company can see it, or he could make it public and visible to anybody that was connected to Lotus Live. Setting the privacy is something that he will do for himself. He's made it available to no one at the moment. Perhaps he wants to upload it, do some work on it, use it for something else later. He switches back to his inbox here, and in Notes we're looking at an attachment that's come through in an email, and he drags and drops that into the Click to Cloud plugin for Lotus Notes. What that's doing, that's actually uploading it to the server for him. So that's uploaded it to Lotus Live, and if he goes to My Files, there's that particular document. So now he selects a number of documents that he wants to share with his team. Now some of these team will be external, some will be internal. And he adds them to a collection. A collection is just a way of being able to categorise a group of files that we might want to work with, and his collection is around the marketing campaign that he's doing. And if we have a look at his collection, this is a very easy way for him to be able to organise his documents and share them out ultimately with other people as that form part of that team. And he's going to allow author access to other people in that marketing team, because ultimately someone other than himself will have to update some of those documents within the team, within that collection, I mean. He can also, anyone that has access to this collection can download that whole collection in one zip file, so they don't have to download all those documents as individual documents, which is a huge time saver for people that are working with these. The next thing that Frank wants to do is host a meeting, and he's going to invite a number of people to the meeting. One of the people will be Heather, and we'll see that he actually wants to connect a couple of other people in, so he's going to search for those people, send invitations out, and they will get invitations coming up on their screen. And when they connect, we'll see them appear in the right-hand side. He also wants to use a file, and he's got this file already uploaded to Lotus Live, but he could upload one from his own file system if he wanted to do that. So this is a presentation file. In this case, it's a Symfony file. It could be a Microsoft Office file, of course. And we see all the participants are online now, and they're there on the right-hand side. And he starts moving through the presentation. And if this looks familiar, this is Same Time Unite, integrated with Lotus Live. So what he's doing now, Frank has actually passed control across and to Samantha, and she's just speaking and highlighting a few areas of this particular chart, and then passes control back with some annotations. As they go through the meeting, to-do items are created on the spot, so we don't have to sort of take notes and create them separately. He actually creates them, and they get assigned on the spot as the meeting is progressing, which means that it makes it a lot easier to track these things a little bit later. So let's sign out of the web conference. And the next thing that we want to do is have a look at these to-do items. We'll switch back to Heather's desktop, and we see that Heather has the ability to chat with other people in the group because she has Same Time installed there. But in this case, she's looking at this to-do item that she has assigned to her. She goes into her dashboard. She sees the to-do items that came out of that meeting that she's just attended. And there's a couple of items there. One of them is assigned to her, to Heather. Another one is assigned to Frank, or Frankie, as he likes to be called. And one of the things that she needs to do as part of a to-do item is to obtain some historical information and share it with the group. So she searches on a particular document that she knows she has tagged. And that's the document there. She can open that up. And she's opening this spreadsheet up. She's opening it with Symfony, but it's an Excel spreadsheet. She has some information there. She needs to do a little bit of a check on it, perhaps annotate it, make sure it's correct, and then she's going to make that available to that group. So she clicks on Share the File. She allows the marketing team to read that. She's part of that team, so she has access to that group. And then she can go back to the activity. There's an activity around this which defines all the things that need to be done as part of this particular marketing effort. And she'll put in another item, which is a link to the spreadsheet. And then she'll be able to tick her to-do item off. So she's added this file, provided it, made it available to other people, put a bit of information in there in terms of a description, tagged it to make it other people, make it easy to find for other people. And she's notifying members of the activity by email. And then she's just closing off that particular activity. So she's done her to-do item. So in terms of Frank's desktop, he also has a to-do, but it's quite similar. So in the interest of time, I think I'll hand back over to Matt, and we'll press on.